How many know we serve an awesome God? He's doing awesome things in our lives. Amen. You have your Bible tonight. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to go down to verse 27. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27. I'm going to read from 27 down through 31. Isaiah 40, 27 through 31. I'm going to read from the New American Standard. A couple weeks ago, the Lord gave me a message that I shared here. There's danger in your comfort zone. And the day on Monday after whatever day I spoke that message, the next day I was studying my notes. A lot of times, you know, I like to go over my notes and look at them. Sometimes I'll see if there's something I can present better or before I file it away. And so I was just reviewing what I had said that night and going over that and checking in with the Lord and all the things that I said in that sermon. There's danger in your comfort zone. And man, down in my spirit, I felt this so strong. You're not done speaking about this subject. You're not done speaking about this subject. And so then I went back to this scripture here and I started meditating on this scripture. And then the Lord showed me something I'd never seen before. Now, maybe you've seen it 100 times. I don't know. But it was brand new to me. And so I want to pick up tonight here. And let me just read. I'm in Isaiah 40, verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. And though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. Some versions say renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. Everybody say like eagles. They will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not become weary. And so the Lord impressed upon me to study more about the eagle, you know, and that last sermon was essentially, I use that in many of the illustrations, you know, thoughts about the eagle. And so the Lord impressed upon my heart to go a little further with this. And, you know, I don't know, within a couple of days, I was studying this subject out and preparing for the next time I would share. And Pastor Greg from our staff team, one day he had been around campus and he saw an eagle on the Rhema campus. And so he took a picture of the Rhema eagle and then sent it to all the staff team. And we were all, you know, oohing and awing and commenting on the fact that there was an eagle on the Rhema campus. You know, as I look at you all tonight, the eagle he saw could have been any one of you, you know, because the scripture compares the Christian to the eagle. The scripture says here, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. In the New American Standard that I read originally, it said yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. There is a comparison between the New Testament believer and God's magnificent creation, the eagle. Now, when I was going over my notes and restudying these scriptures, here's what the Lord showed me. And again, this may not be a revelation to you. It just, I had an aha moment for me, for Bill, and I had never seen this before. And that is this, that the wings of the eagle are the equivalent to the faith of the Christian. That the wings of an eagle are the equivalent of faith to the New Testament believer. You know, the scripture says in Habakkuk, in Romans, in Galatians, in Hebrews, all over the scriptures, there is this principle about the New Testament believer, the just shall live by faith. It's a principle that faith isn't a part of our lifestyle. Faith isn't a part of what we do. Listen, faith is connected. It's the whole pie. It's the whole enchilada. Faith is everything. The scripture says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Everything we do is connected to our faith. Our faith is, in fact, a lifestyle. So when we are admonished in the book of Romans, in the book of Galatians, when we're admonished in Habakkuk, and when we're admonished in Hebrews, that the just shall live by faith. When I read these scriptures about the eagle, I could see it so clear. Why does the eagle parents, why do they press and push that little eaglet that's never flown before? Why do they push it so hard until they can get it to fly? They push it to the brink because they want it to use its wings. Here's what the mama eagle knows. Here's what the papa eagle knows, that the eagle was created to soar. The eagle and the Christian were created to soar. I said this the last time, that the little eaglet, it has to overcome its fear. The fear of falling is often greater than the thrill of soaring. And so often that happens to you and I as believers. The fear of failure can become greater than the thrill of soaring in victory. The eagle has been created. It's been given a wingspan of from the average adult eagle from 6 to 7.5 feet. Think about how long that is. I'm 6'2", so the average wingspan of an eagle is beyond my height. God has created the eagle with such a tremendous wing structure and such tremendous feathers that, wow, it's able to get above the storm. So I want to say essentially to you tonight five things briefly here about the eagle. And the way it just came to me, I just put it into what's called an acrostic. An acrostic, that's where you take one letter of a word that you're going to use. You take one letter and you make that letter say something, and the next letter says something. So I'm going to spell out the word faith ultimately, F-A-I-T-H, because as I say, the wings of an eagle are comparative to the faith of the believer. So for the F here, we're going to start with feathers. We're going to start with feathers because there are so many comparisons here to the wings of the eagle and the, as I say, the equivalency of the faith of the Christian. Do you know an eagle can fly between 30 miles per hour if it's flying into the wind, if it's flying up and having to use all of its strength? It can fly upwards 30 miles per hour. But when it's in a dive mode, that eagle can dive at 100 miles an hour. The wings that God has given the eagle enable it both to what's called glide, where it doesn't use its strength, it just follows the wind, it just goes with the wind. And when it's diving, oftentimes it's using the power of the wind to glide or to soar. And so the same thing, we have to examine. There are certain things in scripture where God says, take a look at this, because this has, you know, it's a metaphor for something I've done for you in Christ. Something that spells out your victory in Christ can be seen in this animal. The Bible says about, you know, the ant, go and look at the ant, you sluggard. You know, if you want to look at it, look how hard an ant works. You can avoid being lazy. You want to avoid being lazy, go watch the ant, you know, Proverbs admonishes us. But all over scripture is this admonition for you and I to look at the eagle, how the eagle is created. And so this F, the F of faith, stands for the feathers, because it can fly between 30 and 100 miles per hour. And Exodus 19:4 in the New Living Translation, it says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and bought you to myself. God is testifying to Israel about how he delivered them from Pharaoh and from the Egyptian bondage. And the analogy that God uses that he wants Israel to see, he said, I carried you out of Egypt on eagle's wings. He meant it was swift. It was strong. He said what he was saying in effect is there was adversity, but I had the power to get above the adversity. And for every bit of trouble that you faced getting out of Egypt, I lifted you out of there on my wings. I said, God has got the power to lift you and I up above circumstance. He's got the power to lift us up above trouble. And so it really doesn't matter what comes our way. God has created you and I to soar. And when that little eaglet finally lines up with its destiny, when that eagle finally lines up with its God-created ability, then it starts flapping its wing because it's been created to soar. And Mama Eagle pushes it, and Mama Eagle prods it, and Mama Eagle tries to get it to fly. And oftentimes, you know, one of the things I love to do, I have on a YouTube channel, they have a webcam that someone placed in an eagle's nest. And then you get to observe the eagles, you know, during all of the different seasons. And, you know, when they have the little eaglets, you get to observe all of that. And the eagle doesn't even know you're watching. It just is doing its own thing to protect and provide for the, for the little eaglets. But God, when that eaglet finally realizes that it's its destiny to fly, it's been created. See, for the Christian, it is your destiny to win. I said, God has created you and built within you the destiny for you and I to win. We come against different circumstances in life. We all face trouble, my friend. We all face adversity. But God has already created you. He's already created you and destined you to win. And when trouble and adversity comes, he expects you to start flapping those wings of faith because he's put something in you that can get above any trouble. Psalm 34, verse 19 in the New Living Translation, it says, the righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. The eagle is the only bird that loves the storm. When the storm comes, when the eagle senses the storm coming, the eagle actually gets excited. And the eagle gets out ahead of the storm. And when those first winds of adversity begin to blow, the eagle uses its wingspan to get up above the storm, gets up above the trouble. I got on a plane one time leaving Tulsa, and it was so much snow and ice, they de-iced the plane 3 times. I was praying in a brand new tongue. Lord, I don't want no trouble. I don't want no trouble when this plane leaves the ground. People were complaining, oh, they're de-icing the plane again. I was like, you be quiet. I was saying to myself, you be quiet. Let them de-ice it as many times as they need to. I don't want no trouble. Those wings are created for lift. And if you let ice get on the wings, they can't develop the lift that they have to get. And underneath you, underneath your faith, God's created lift. He's created lift. And when we begin to speak God's word, he lifts us up above. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord lifts him up above the trouble. I said, you've been designed to win. You've been designed for victory. I wish I had a bigger amen. Its wings, its feathers enable it to soar and to glide. The A in faith, that stands for accuracy. Let's talk about the eagle's eyesight for a moment. Do you know that the eagle's eyesight is 4 to 8 times stronger than the human eye? And even though the eagle is no comparison in weight to the average human, can I tell you this? The eagle's eyes weigh exactly the same as the human eyes. And we think it's something when we can get 20/20 vision. But the eagle has something called 24 vision. And that means that what you and I would have to get up like 4 feet from something to see the detail of it, the eagle can see it 20 feet. The eagle has such excellent vision, it can spot its prey from 3 miles. And follow its prey from 3 miles. But they say it's very easy for an eagle even to spot a rabbit from 2 miles out. Now just think about how far that is. We're up here on Kenosha. But if you went a mile to 81st and went another mile to 91st, an eagle flying at 91st could spot a rabbit from 91st Street and then circle with the wind, riding the wind the whole way here. And as it's circling, it doesn't take its eye off the rabbit one single time. It can pick a rabbit out from that far away. It has excellent eyesight. And God has created you and I with excellent eyesight. He's given us the ability to see what others cannot see. Over in Acts 27:10, you don't have to turn there, but you remember when Paul got on board that ship headed to Rome as a prisoner. You remember Acts 27:10. Paul said to a group of trained sailors, 276 people on board the ship. Paul said, he got on board the ship and he said, "Sirs, I perceive there's going to be an accident. There's going to be a loss of life, a loss of cargo, a loss of the ship." He said, "Sirs, I perceive." He wasn't seeing with his natural eyes. He was seeing down here with the eyes of his heart. How many of you know we have two sets of eyes? Somebody said, "I got glasses." Okay, you may have three sets of eyes, but you got a set of eyes down here in your spirit, the eyes of your spirit. And God has intended for you and I to look and to see things with the eyes of our spirit. You remember over in 1 Kings 18, I won't tell you there, you can read the story later, but 1 Kings 18, where it hadn't rained in 3.5 years, and Elijah, he says, just by an inward knowing, he says, "I hear the sound of the abundance of rain." That's right. They were in a famine when he could see he said, "I hear the sound." He said, "Tell Ahab to get the chariot ready and get back because it's going to get muddy. He won't be able to get back." He said, "I hear the sound of the abundance of rain." He was talking about what he could see by faith. And the scripture says about the New Testament believer, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so everything that happens in our lives, listen, happens as a result of our faith in God and our faith in God's word. And so God expects us to see with the eyes of our spirit. Romans 8:16 says, "For in his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we're the children of God," in the New Living Translation. His spirit joins with our spirit to affirm. In other words, his spirit bears witness with our spirit. Amen. So God expects us to see with the eyes of our spirit. And that means we have to be able to see things that, you know, other people may not be able to see. What do? We see by faith. We must be able to see with the eyes of our spirit, not just our natural eyes. 2 Peter 1:4 says this, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." God expects us to see with the eyes of our heart. Ephesians 1:17 in the New American Standard. Ephesians 1:17 in the New American Standard says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." Yes. I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And so the New Testament believer has been given the ability to see things and speak to things by faith. And just as the eagle has excellent eyesight, that it can see and spot things 3 miles away, the New Testament believer has been given eyesight in their heart, in our hearts, in our spirits, to see what other people cannot see. Romans 4:17 says that Abraham, he called those things that be not as though they what? As though they were. What was he doing? He was seeing with the eyes of faith. God spoke to him, and then he was seeing with the eyes of faith. Has God ever spoken to you about something and it seemed so unlikely that it would happen? And then God turned around and did that thing. He turned around and performed it. He turned around and blessed you with that job anyway. It didn't look like you were going to get it, but he turned around and gave it to you anyway. You ever been there? I applied for a job one time, and man, it didn't look like I was going to get it. And people said, "You're not going to get it." And people gave me all the reasons why I couldn't get it. But down in my spirit was just jumping on the inside. You know what I had to do? I had to dismiss what other people were telling me.
Brother won't get no amen teaching like that. I was working for Thrifty Car Rentals World Headquarters here in town, working for the World Headquarters. And I'd been gotten many promotions at the reservation level, and I was lead supervisor in the reservation center. But then there was a job manager of sales, corporate sales for a major, you know, it's certainly not the biggest car rental company, but this is their headquarters, and so corporate sales was a big job. And the manager of corporate sales, oh man. And I remember the person who was interviewing for the job, he came down to see me a few days before the interview, and he said, I just wanted to meet you. And he said, I don't know that much about you. He said, but I looked at your application, and he said, you know, you don't have the experience that most of the people that I'm interviewing for this job have. You don't have that experience. And he said, so I don't want you to be disappointed if you don't get the job. And he said, but, you know, when he told me that he wanted to meet me, I felt like in my spirit, go down to Dillard's and get a brand new shirt and a brand new tie. And so I went and got a new shirt and tie. And so when he said, this was a pre-interview meeting. So I went to the pre-interview meeting. I had on my shirt and tie, you know. And so he said, you don't qualify. You don't have the experience. Then he said this, but just looking at your shirt and tie, I can see you're serious about the job. And he said, I'm going to give you every consideration. I can see you're serious. I said, that's all I want is an opportunity. All I want is an opportunity. Yeah. And then a couple days later, a young lady, her name was Pam. She came to me in the break room, and she said, did you apply for that job? I heard you apply for that corporate manager position. I said, I sure did. She said, can I tell you something? I said, sure. She said, there's no black person that's ever held that title in the 25 year history of the company. No black person has ever held that title. I just wanted to share that with you. I guess she tried to be a blessing to me saying that. You know, sometimes you have to tell people, excuse me. I'm walking by faith, not by sight. Excuse me. I'm believing God for the best, you know. And you know, when you walk with the Lord, it don't matter what color you come from. It don't matter what color you are. It don't matter where you come from. We are all his kids. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, we are all his kids. And not only that, we're his favorite kid. And I said, you got here too late. You got here too late for me. You got here too late to tell me. So I appreciate it, but thank you. I appreciate it, thank you. Sometimes you just have to tell people thank you and keep on stepping. Sometimes you tell people, no, thank you, keep on stepping. Somebody tell you, but you don't look like you healed. Thank you, but keep on stepping. Thank you. Somebody say, you don't look like you blessed. Thank you, keep on stepping. They can't see what you can see. A couple weeks later, I sat down in that man's office, and he said, welcome to corporate America. The job is yours. Hey, that may not mean nothing to you. But God did it. I said, God, you did it for me. God, you gave me favor. God, you blessed me like this. And so the accuracy of the eagle's eyesight, God expects you and I to walk by faith and not by natural sight, but to see with the eyes of our spirit. Hey, thirdly, the eagle operates by instinct. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, in the New American Standard, it says, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest. Let's talk about that for a second, because the eagle operates by instinct. And you and I have something better than instinct. We operate by, let's break it down to intuition. Let's break it down further. We operate by the inward witness. We operate by the leading of the Holy Ghost. I said, if you're a New Testament believer, then God, the Holy Spirit, is down on the inside of you. And you have every advantage. Jesus said, John 16:7, to your advantage that I go away. Because if I go away, if I don't go away, I can't send him. But if I go away, I'll send him. Talking about the Holy Ghost. And now today, you and I have the Holy Ghost down on the inside of us. And Jesus said, you got a tremendous advantage. The Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. You got a tremendous advantage. You can use my name. You got a tremendous advantage. You can plead the blood. You got a tremendous advantage. You can quote the word. You got a tremendous advantage. You can call on holy. I wish I had an amen in here. I said, you and I as believers have a tremendous advantage because of who we are in Christ. He has equipped us better than the eagle, stronger than the eagle. The eagle's operating by instinct. And so that mama eagle, that papa eagle, they push that little eaglet to fly. And until it flies one, you know, when it flies one time and uses its wings, it's called a fledge. And then when it uses its wings more than once, but it's still dependent upon the mama and papa eagle, it's called a fledgling. But until it uses its wings, it's called an eaglet. And so instinctively, mama eagle, papa eagle make the nest uncomfortable. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here because this was the real core of my sermon last time. But they make the nest uncomfortable. Why? Because they want the eagle to realize it's been destined to fly, not just fly, but to soar. It was not destined to stay in that nest. It was not destined to stay on the ground. It was not destined to stay, in the grasp of gravity. The eagle was destined to fly and to soar and to get above any trouble. And so mama eagle has to help that eagle and papa eagle has to help that eaglet. They've got to help it get to the nest. They've got to help it overcome its fear. And they say that if it does not fly, if it does not fly, they will push it to the edge of the nest and push it over the nest. And then it's got to start flapping. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And if it does not fly, that mama eagle will swoop down and catch it on its pinions just before it hits the ground, bring it back up to the nest and push it over again. And in that process, that thing learned, oh yeah. And when it starts flying, it said, this is all right here. This is all right. It's operating by instinct. In Psalm 103, verse 5, it says this in the New Living. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. I like that. We're talking about how the eagle operates by instinct. You and I operate by intuition or the inward witness or the leading of the Holy Ghost down on the inside of us. We got something better than the eagle has. But the eagle operates by instinct. It instinctively knows to make that eaglet fly. It instinctively knows to make that nest uncomfortable. But around the age of 30, the eagle instinctively knows that to live longer, it's got to make some changes. And so around the age of 30, sometimes 40, what it does is it renews its youth. It's a painful process. It involves knocking out its own beak. It plucks out its own talons so that new ones can grow. And if it completes this process, it will extend its life by another 30 years. The idea here is that no pain, no gain. And so it instinctively knows that to get better, I've got to pull some of these feathers. I've got to pluck some of these older feathers out so that new feathers can grow. Because if new feathers can grow, I'll have a greater lift and I'll be able to soar above anything that comes my way. And sometimes the Holy Ghost will lead you and I in different ways. But we need to follow the leading of the Lord. Sometimes he'll tell you, you just need to start walking. Sometimes he'll tell you, you need to start taking your vitamins. Sometimes he'll tell you, you need to take better care of yourself. It's something different for all of us. That means something different to all of us. I ain't got time to worry about what the Lord's saying to you. You know why? He's too busy talking to me. I ain't got time to worry about talking to you about. You got to worry about what he's talking to you about. But we are all his children. And he will show us all how to renew our youth. I was saying recently, you know, we were waiting at the pancake house, we were waiting for it to stop raining. We went to get some pancakes, and I tried to order off the 55 and older menu, and the man told me, you can't order off that menu. He said, that menu is for people who are 55 and older. I said, well, I well meet the criteria. I'm more than qualified for that. He said, no, you are not, sir. I'm not, you know, he said, I know we're kidding here, but I don't want to be rude, but you can't order off the 55 plus menu. I said, but I qualify to order. He said, sir, you do not. I had to take out my license. I got carded at IHOP. I down there at La Fortune, I told the man, I said, give me the senior rate, playing golf. I said, give me the senior rate. He said, you don't qualify for any senior rate. I said, oh, yes, I do. He said, no, you don't. I had to take out my license again. I got carded at La Fortune golf course. He was adding it up in his head. God wants to renew your youth like that of the eagle. I remember years ago, Sister Helen Minning. She was a great, what I call, mother in the church. Sister Helen, she was in her 80s. Just amazing, wonderful saint of God. Anybody here old enough to still remember Sister Helen? Just a few. She was an amazing woman of God. I remember after Sister Helen had like hip replacement surgery, she was sitting down front. And I said, oh, Sister Helen's back from the hospital. She got up and walked all around the church. And she just said, she was just doing so good. I went to see her down where she stayed at a independent living situation. And I went to have lunch with Sister Helen. And she was introducing me to all her little friends and everything. And she told me, she said, Pastor Bill, she said, I pray for people over here. These people here are old. That's what she told me. She said, these people here are old. This is what she did. This is literally what she did. She said, this is the way they walk. She said, not me. She said, I get my knees up and I'm walking. She said, I'm still young. I said, the Lord has renewed your strength, Sister Helen. What are you saying, Brother Bill? God wants to renew your strength like that of the eagle. When the eagle goes through that process of pain, it extends its life another 30 years. And God's trying to help you and I. And if we'll listen to him, we'll be blessed. Let's run quick. Listen, that's the T. The T stands for talons. Do you know that the grip of an eagle's talons is 10 times stronger than the grip in a human hand? When the eagle grabs something, it will not let go. The grip in an eagle has 530 PSI. Pounds per square inch. That's enough to break your arm. The grip strength of an eagle is phenomenal. And when it grabs something, it is not about to let go. It can carry animals in excess of its own weight. And as I say, those 3 to 4 inch talons, they grip down at 530 PSI and will not let go. And when the eagle gets hold of something, its coordination between its excellent eyesight and its talons, it's so good that it can grab a fish out of the water and just in stride. It is so good. The talons of the eagle mean that you and I were created by God to hold on with our faith, to believe God's word, to stand on his word. I quoted 2 Peter 1:4, whereby have been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that by these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has given you and I exceeding great and precious promises. So my question tonight is, what do you need? Because whatever you need, there's a promise for it in this book. And if you'll cling to the promise of God, when we just got done singing, I spoke the word and he heard and he answered me. Somebody said, we sang that? Yeah, you sang that. I spoke the word and he heard. What you're really supposed to be saying, I spoke the word. I'm clinging to the word. I'm standing on the word. When you stand on the word, you'll get the blessing. I saw a man on TV testifying he'd been in a plane accident. I think the plane was upside down and he was trying to get out and he couldn't get out and there were dead people and jet fuel was burning the flesh. He saw flesh burning off of people. He couldn't get out of his seatbelt. He said, I'm standing on the word. And he said, I couldn't get out of my seatbelt. He said, I just yelled out, I'm standing on the word. And he said, I don't know how I got out, but I was out of my seatbelt. He said, I got to the aisle, but the aisle was blocked. I couldn't get down the aisle. He said, I'm standing on the word. And he said, next thing I knew, I was halfway down the aisle. He said, he tried to get to the exit, but the exit was blocked. The exit didn't even open. He said, I'm standing on the word. And he said he looked up and there was a little hole in the ceiling, but it was, you know, that's, I guess, the floor of the plane, because the plane, I think he was saying the plane was upside down, if I understood right. Anyway, the point is there was a hole in the ceiling, but he couldn't get up there. And so he said, I yelled out, I'm standing on the word. And he said, before I knew it, my elbows were out through that hole in the ceiling. And they said, how'd you get out? He said, standing on the word. How you gonna make it? Standing on the word. How you gonna make it through? Standing on the word. When the eagle grips something with that 530 pounds per square inch, it's not letting go. What it's saying is, I'm standing on the word. That'll bring you through every time. And finally, the H is for height. The eagle ascends to heights that other birds cannot fly at. Other birds cannot fly at that height. So what it means is that the eagle doesn't hang around with other birds. The eagle hangs around with other eagles. Can I say this to you? You'll never see an eagle hanging around a chicken or a buzzard. Eagles were designed, as iron sharpens iron, so does one brother sharpen another. Eagles were designed to fly with eagles. And so it's very important that we, you know, the Bible said, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Don't be flying around with the wrong person. Make sure you're getting your fellowship from the right height with another eagle. And I say your life will be blessed doing that. We walk by faith, my friend, not by sight. Tonight, we shared with you these five things about the eagle: the feathers, the accuracy, the instinct, the talons, and the height. Father, thank you for helping us to see who you've destined us to be. You've destined us to win. And in spite of the storms that we face, someone may be facing a storm tonight, but in spite of whatever storm it is, you've created them to win. You've created them to fly. You've created them to soar ahead of the storm and to win every time. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, tonight you need something from the Lord, come up here and let one of these anointed believers pray with you. Here they come. Guys, just come to the guys. Ladies, come to the ladies. They'll agree with you in prayer. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Take a closer look at the eagle. You're going to see who you are in Christ. And you should be encouraged. Start flapping your wings. Use your wings of faith. God will take you to new heights. God bless you. You be here Sunday morning, hour of power. Come Sunday school in the 9 o'clock hour, and then Sunday morning, this is our power. Come Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, the Sunday school hour, and then 10 o'clock worship, another power-packed service, 10 a.m. Sunday. You be here. God bless you, one and all.